thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
If you've been with us the past sort of probably 5 weeks or so, we've been in a series in our morning services called Lessons from a Broken Kingdom. This is sort of a series that we've seen and found in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and this morning is the last morning of this series as we finish up. And this morning we are going to look at 2nd Chronicles chapter 26. It's about a guy called King Uzziah. And I hope, though, before like we get there, the last couple of weeks, the last 4 or 5 weeks that we have done of this series, that there is lots that we have been able to learn, lots of lessons that are able to be implemented into our lives. Us as a church, about prioritizing the presence of God, but also like us as individuals, that we would all grow and learn from the Word of God. See, the reason they're good lessons, the reason it's helpful for all of us, isn't because like some people from the session made it up or because some preachers were able to figure it out. It's because it's the Word of God. The Word of God in 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed, all of it, which means every single time you and I open the Word of God, God speaks to you and me. How incredible is that? Yet, how often do we take it for granted? How often is it just a pastime that we never get to? How often is it something that we don't prioritize in our lives? Yet that's why these lessons are important, because it's directly from the Word of God. So we're going to read a bit of this together. We're going to read the first 5 verses. I'll explain the middle section from about verse 6 to verse 16, and then we will read a couple more verses later on. So 2 Chronicles chapter 26, King Uzziah, who is regarded as a great king, and we'll see why here. So verse 1 says this: then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored Judah to Amaziah, restored to his ancestors. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. His mother's name was, let's do this together, Jecolah. We'll go for that. And she was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him to fear God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. And then there's another about 11 verses of scripture here from verse 6 to verse 15 that give us a bit of an insight to the reign of King Uzziah, some of the things that he achieved. It talks about some of the victories he won over the enemies. It talks about his fame spreading across the region, of him like strengthening and fortifying the city, of building defense mechanisms against enemies. He is this really impressive young man. He organized large armies that were equipped with all that they would need to win battles. And Uzziah prospered. He really prospered. And he became greatly known and greatly used by God. He is an impressive, impressive king, especially at the age of 16. And then we'll pick up reading again a couple more verses from verse 16. It says this: but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah, the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, it is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. This is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand to burn incense, became angry when he was raging at the priests in the presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple. Leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and banned from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, took charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. And we'll end our reading there. Such an interesting story of this really impressive king who reigned for 52 years in Judah. And he was seen lots of victories, lots of military advancements, seen amazing things, but the ending probably wasn't what he would have wanted. And this story we're going to look at lots this morning. And it's the lesson of the whole story is where we're going to be in this morning. It's to catch a glimpse of this. This is our title, and this is the lesson, is don't allow the drift. Don't allow the drift. We're going to see, how did this great King Uzziah, who went from every time he sought the Lord, he succeeded, to going and being unfaithful to the Lord? And for me, when I read it, there is a drift. And so this morning, we're going to unpack that title. And drifting is something, if it sounds familiar, we all know what it means, but it's something that we usually don't think of, and it's something we usually don't see. Lots of things can drift, lots of people can drift, and one thing that always seems to drift is time, doesn't it? Just drifts along and nobody notices. Like, we're already over halfway through 2026, I think. Is that right? Months-wise? Yeah? We're already halfway through 2026. Time just flies. Like, yesterday I felt like I was still in school, and now, like, I'm married and I have a house and stuff. It's mental. It just flies by, and we don't really notice it. Another thing, me and my family, we used to have a caravan in Port Rush when we were kids. And me and my mum, my dad, and my sister would have spent a lot of time walking from the caravan to White Rocks on the beach. And me and my dad would have jumped into the water and had like a ball and just would have threw it back and forth to each other. Just would have caught it and threw it. And you know what happened? If anyone's ever been in the sea, which you're from the North Coast, probably everybody, what starts to happen is you start with the water up to your like knees, don't you? And you're throwing it and you're catching it. And then all of a sudden, like, you start to drift, don't you? And you get a wee bit further and further. And me and my dad would have just been so engaged with this game of catch that we didn't want to drop it, and we made fun of whoever dropped it, that we didn't really notice the drift started to happen. We didn't notice it. We wouldn't realize how far we'd gone until my mom would have shouted, "Here, it's too far." And so we would have just swam back in. But it's that thing, isn't it? It's unnoticeable. It's something we don't notice until sometimes it's too late, unless we're reminded, unless we are aware. You see, when we're unaware of the drift, it can lead us into dangerous situations. If my mum didn't warn us, how far could me and my dad have went? How difficult would the journey back have been? When we don't notice the drift, church, it can be really dangerous. Because that scenario with me and my dad, right? Like, it could have been bad. We could have got further. Maybe we wouldn't have been able to swim that well, and it would have been difficult to get back. That would have been really bad. But if I'm honest, I think in church life and following Jesus, it could be even worse. It could be even worse of going far out in the sea. I think if we don't watch out for the drift, we can miss out on the opportunities that the Lord has for us. We can miss out on the plan of God. We can miss out on the purposes of God if we are just drifting through the motions. See, my first point is this. You will never drift into potential. You will never drift into potential. Potential is an interesting word, isn't it? We quite often use it for like up-and-coming people, don't we? Like that sports star, like this guy or this girl has potential to be amazing. Or maybe you said about your kids, my kids have like so much potential to be amazing. Or we look at young people at the front of churches and we say, look at the potential upon their lives. It's an interesting word, potential. But what about you and me? What about our potential? As adults in the room, does potential just go when age goes? Like, what about you and me? What even is potential? I would like to suggest this is my understanding of potential. Potential simply lies in the amazing opportunities that the Lord has for your life if you allow him to work through you. Potential is the amazing opportunities that the Lord could do in your life and give you in your life if you allow the Lord to work through you. What I love about potential is that it's never about becoming famous or about becoming known. That's not how you reach it. That's not how you climb the ladder to potential. Potential is simply, how to unlock full potential is by simply being available to God and being willing to be used by him. What could he do with us. What a privilege that he could use your life and my life, these insignificant lives that are worth nothing, to bring some sort of glory to his name. And we read of this King Uzziah, and we read that he kicks over at 16 years old. I don't know, is there any 16-year-olds in the room? No? Connor, are you 16? 17? All right, Daniel? What age? 15. So Daniel's 16 this morning, everybody. Daniel, imagine Daniel walking up to take over the United Kingdom, the next king of the United Kingdom. Hands up, who would be confident? Come on, Daniel, we're all with you, we're all with you. Right, like 16 years old. It says in verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. The feeling of the 16-year-old, let's be really honest in the room. If you're sitting there in Judah when this is happening, you'd be thinking, he's far too young. Far too young to lead us. Like, where's his life experience? He's done nothing. He's experienced nothing. How can we trust him? There would have been lots of these concerns. We would have made a real good idea and a good effort of making lots of claims why he shouldn't get the throne. Yet often I think we do the same things as we would discount the 16-year-old to lead the United Kingdom or a 15-year-old like Daniel. I think we often discount ourselves from being used by God in the same way. And sometimes the question is for young people, I'm too young to be used by God. But also for us, it's quite often, I'm too old to be used by God. Or it's, I don't know enough to be used by God. Or I'm not confident enough to be used by God, or I'm not strong enough to be used by God. And so the same sort of reason why we would try and say a 16-year-old shouldn't lead the United Kingdom, we almost put on ourselves and we limit the potential that God could do through us. You see, the potential that God's talking about here is not your ability, it's not your talent, it's not your age, it's not your background, it's not your knowledge. It is that you would be willing and available to be used by God. That's what he's looking for. That's what we could do to walk into all that is available for us. When people look at limitations, when we look at King Uzziah at 16 and could name you five limitations why he shouldn't be in the throne, when you maybe look at your own life and you could probably give five reasons why you shouldn't be used by God, you could bring all the limitations because of your knowledge or your background or your confidence or the stage of life you're in, and you could bring all of these limitations, God looks at what we limit and he sees the possibility. He sees the possibility of what he could do in your life. King Uzziah, 16, had a chance at the throne, but God didn't just see an opportunity for a 16-year-old. He seen the potential of what he could do for the next 52 years through a young man willing to be used by God. So what could he do? What is the potential that could be unlocked in your life this morning as you said yes to God? What could he call you into, church? What could he step you forward in? What could he call you up to? If you didn't give all these reasons why you couldn't, said too old or don't know enough, and you just said, here I am, Lord, use me. What could he do? Because remember, there's a cost to this. Because we don't ever drift into potential. It costs us something. And let's see what the Bible shows us in this. It doesn't say that when he was old enough that God used him and give him success. It doesn't say when he was talented enough, God used him and give him success. Read verse 5 with me. It says this. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him to fear God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. What an incredible lesson for every person in this church this morning. No matter what you've seen, no matter what age you are, if we seek the Lord, he will give us success in his eyes. If we just would seek him, church, I think we need to get back to this. Our potential is not unlocked by our talent. It's not unlocked by who we know. It is unlocked because we would seek the Lord and he would show us the ways of his heart. We need to recapture this. We need to come back to people who are seekers of God, not just willing to drift through life, not just willing to drift through the consequences of our actions, not willing to just go through the motions, but people who would say, we are seeking you, Lord. And when we seek you, the truth of the Word of God is we find him and we step into the potential that he has for our lives. Uzziah did not drift. He didn't get success in the eyes of God because he drifted. He done the opposite. He sought the Lord. Lots of us want to be used by God. Lots of us want to have the stories that people can bring to these stages and say. Lots of us want to encounter the moments of God and the power and the beauty of his presence. But lots of the time, and for my life, we're unwilling to just follow the simple blueprint to get it. We're unwilling to seek him. We're unwilling to go after him. We're unwilling to go to our knees. We're unwilling to find him in the place of prayer. We just want it easier. See, the Hebrew word for sought in this passage, if I can pronounce it right, is darash. Probably sounds way more Hebrew than that usually. But this simply means this: to earnestly seek or to inquire after. To earnestly seek or to inquire after. This is what leads to potential, church, that we would be a people, no matter our age, no matter our background, no matter what we've seen, we would be a people who would earnestly seek after the Lord. Imagine a church set on fire that would earnestly seek after the Lord. What would he unlock? What would be the areas we would step into? What would be the things that we would see? The difference wasn't that Uzziah was 16 and had lots of years ahead of him. The difference between Uzziah's life and my life, or Uzziah's life and our lives, is he sought the Lord. He sought him. That's simply it. It wasn't his age. It wasn't what he knew. He sought the Lord. And he found success when he did that. I wonder what could happen if we sought the Lord with our whole lives. And it's not just limited to Uzziah. Jehoshaphat, 6 chapters before, in this really famous passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles 20, in this amazing moment, Jehoshaphat doesn't see, if you don't know the story, sorry, there's these armies that are coming, there's far too many people that they would easily be defeated. There would be no chance for them in this battle. And so Jehoshaphat doesn't go, here, let's make this new military plan. Let's come at them in a different way and a fresh way. No, this is what it says in 2 Chronicles 12, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And the amazing thing in this story is before he sent warriors to the battle, he sent first of all worshippers. He sent worshippers that would precede warriors. And what happened when they were praising God is that when they arrived, there was no armies to fight because they had all fought each other and they got the victory. You see, we will never drift into potential, church. It's not something that we achieve by just going through the motions. It's actually something we miss out when we drift. But we will follow and walk into the full potential of our lives if we would seek after the Lord. The danger of the drift is it goes the opposite way. If seeking the Lord leads to a life sold out, full of potential for all the things God could do in and through us, then drifting leads to a life of self-dependence and self-reliance. I think we need to rethink potential, church. Potential isn't for young people or for up-and-coming people. Potential isn't about what you can do for God, because the reality of this is that that's really limited. Potential is not what you can do for God, that's limited. Potential is what could God do through you? What could he do for a life sold out for him? What could he do through a life that just would say, here I am, Lord, would you use me? Imagine what he could do through the person who would earnestly seek him or inquire after him. That would be something that would be an unlocking of potential. So we don't drift into potential. We need to be people who earnestly seek after him. My second point is this: we only drift into self-reliance. At the start, I talked about like how me and my dad would have went to White Rocks and threw a ball back and forth, and we would have caught it and we would have played about with that. And often the only thing that kept us from going far was the call of my mum. It was the, here, you're too far. It's the only thing that probably brought a bit of realization into our lives of how far we had actually gone. But imagine for a moment the call never came. Imagine for a moment the awareness of me and my dad was really poor. Imagine nobody warned us. Imagine the drifting continued. Verse 16 says this, "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple to burn incense on the altar of incense." Pride led to Uzziah's downfall. Pride led to him being unfaithful to the Lord. Pride is this view of self too high. Pride is this concept of you think your way is better than any other way. It is this self-reliance and self-dependence that your thoughts and your ways are right compared to everybody else. Pride was the thing that led to the downfall. But do you know what is fascinating about this verse, these verses? Verse 5 is, this is a man who sought God and he gave him success. Verse 16 is a verse that says he was unfaithful to the Lord. 11 verses. One seeking and gets success. One is unfaithful to God. And there's somewhere in these moments that there is a drift that has started to happen. There's a moment from Uzziah where he was once dependent on the Lord, and now he is dependent on himself. There was once a moment where he's seen the Lord do incredible things through his life, and now he thinks of himself as being incredible. There is this drift that happens within 11 verses of Scripture. And we don't know the exact moment. But church, how realistic is this problem for us? How realistic is this? How often are we the people of verse 5? And we see God do the amazing things, and we're so excited, and we're on fire for the Lord, and we're buzzing for the things of God, yet in the next breath almost, or the next day, or the next week, or the next month, we're verse 16 people, and we have a wee bit of self-reliance on ourselves. How often is this gap actually so much shorter? How often do we go from the place of dependency on the Lord to dependency on ourselves? This is something realistic. This is something we often do, but we need to start catching ourselves on. We can't allow the drift. See, this isn't some huge sin that will ruin our witness and it'll be something that everybody talks about. This sort of sin of drifting is unnoticeable. It's something we don't see often in our lives, but it is a danger for us all. Verse 17 to 21, for time's sake, we won't read it, but it's that story of how Uzziah goes in, they offer the incense, and the priests come and say, you can't do that, you're not a Levite, you can't offer the incense to the Lord. But catch the simplicity of this. Simply it says, King Uzziah walks into the temple, and he takes a censer, which is like this container that was used to offer incense. It's used for burning. And the priest tell him to stop. And do you know, see if it was this moment where King Uzziah thought, yeah, you're right. I've caught myself on. Like, you're right. I need to stop. And he stopped and he walked away. What a great moment of the story. And his witness would have been regained and his testimony would have been this amazing king. But this gives us an insight, church, of how far the drift had happened. He doesn't listen to the Levites. He doesn't listen to the people. He doesn't listen to the priests. He takes it on himself, and the Lord puts leprosy upon his forehead. Self-reliance is dangerous, church. Self-dependency is dangerous, but it's so convincing. It's so convincing because you're convincing yourself, and you know all the things you want to hear. And you know all the things that make you happy. And you know all the things that make you believe something. And so you start to tell yourself, here, I can do this. I can do it. I've done this before. Look, I'm better than them. Look, if they do it, I'll do it wrong. I can do it. Look, no, I'll do it better than, I'll do it well. We start to convince ourselves. We start to rely on ourselves because we know what we want to hear. This is dangerous, church. One thing I would like to suggest is this. Drifting is dangerous because we normally only realize it when it's too late. We normally only realize it when it's too late. Again, the example of my dad. Thank goodness my mom was on the beach to shout, you've gone too far, because we were able to come back close to the shore quite quickly. But if nobody's there, we sort of drift. When would be the moment that we realize? See, I would like to say the same here to Uzziah. The verses between verse 5 and verse 16 doesn't tell us about Uzziah going against God. It doesn't tell us that his prayer life has changed. It doesn't tell us any of that. It tells us about military advancements. It tells us about the success of the army. It tells us all these amazing things. But the moment the realization of the drift happens is he's already gone too far. He's already past it. like leprosy's on his forehead by the time he realizes how far he's gone. Church, we can't allow the drift. Even the small decisions that feel insignificant in moments have huge effects. Maybe it's, I've been praying a wee bit less because, like, things are going good. Or maybe it's, I've been reading my Bible less because I'm busy. Or maybe it's, I've been making decisions a lot quicker without inquiring God because I just need to make them quickly. Or maybe it's here, like, I'm just depending lots on my ability and my experience rather than depend on the power of God. Small decisions is just this drifting away from reliance on God to reliance on self, and slowly over time the drift creates this gap between us and God, which is so dangerous. Church, can I tell you from this story, success in your life is not a marker of the closeness of God. See, if everything's going good in your life, church, I am so happy for you. I am cheering you on. But that does not mean God is close to you. Because I had it all. He was loved and adored by everybody. But there was a drift happening within his life. We need to watch for the drift. You see, Isaiah forgot his treasure. His confidence slowly shifted from the Lord to himself. A.W. Tozer says this quote that many people will know. It's one of my favorite quotes of his. It says this: the man who has God for his treasure has all things in one. The man who has God as his treasure has all things in one. The moment that we begin to drift is when we think the treasure is in anything else other than the Lord. And we can't allow it, church. We can't allow the drift, because drifting only leads in one direction, and it's further away from God. And when we start to live in this place of self-dependency or self-reliance, then we will miss out on the potential that the Lord has upon your life. You will miss the purposes and the plans of God, the ones that he has ordained before the beginning of time. You will miss out on all of the goodness of God when we just start to rely on ourselves. And see, the greatest threat to our potential, church, is not your weakness. It's not your inability. It's not even your sin. The biggest threat to your potential is believing you're good enough without God. It's believing you're powerful enough without God. Believing you're talented enough without God. That is the biggest threat to our potential. Self-reliance shouldn't be the marker of our lives. Dependency on the Lord should be. And that should be the people we are, saying, God, I just want to depend on you, and that there will be no drift within our lives. And the question comes as we move on to our last point is this: how do I do that in a world that is so full of this promotion of self and think about self, and it's all about me and it's the instantaneous? How do I combat the drift? How do I make sure I don't drift into self-reliance or self-dependency? How do I make sure I am dependent on God all of my days? And my third point is this: the antidote to drift. The antidote to drift. And in a human sense, in the story that we've carried the whole way through, the antidote to drift for me and my dad was the call of my mum. That was the antidote for us not going too far. It was the reminder of my mum that, here, you have gone too far. And if we think about it in another way, I think the antidote to drift is awareness of where we are. I think it's an awareness to where we are. I am sure that every Christian in this room wants to honor God with their lives. I am sure that every person in this space who loves Jesus wants to do good for the Lord, wants to see him accomplish everything he wants to do. I have no problem with the motive in the room. I always think it is pure for most, if not every Christian. But the problem is, quite often we lack awareness. We lack awareness. It is necessary to know where we have drifted to recognize where we've drifted from. We need to know where we are so we know how to get back. If you think of King Uzziah in these moments, we read his impressive reign of 52 years from the age of 16. In these years, he brought stability back to the Judah. He brought military success. This national strength arose. And even though the ending was sore and the drift was visible, it was quite an impressive resume from Uzziah, wasn't it? If that was your resume, like from like verse 1 to verse 15, you'd be like, that's so impressive. Like, that's amazing, an amazing king. And so in them years, it doesn't say people worshipped him, but people would have been impressed by him. They would have thanked him. They would have seen him as a person of stability. They would have seen him as a person to thank and to honor. And maybe people started to worship him. Maybe people started to adore him. And maybe people would have looked to Uzziah and said, what's he saying? That's the most important voice that I will listen to. After 52 years of success, it would be right to look at this guy with and be impressed and to thank him. And then it's really interesting in Isaiah chapter 6. It's really, really famous piece of scripture. And I don't know if you've caught it before. It's not something new. But it starts like this in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And it's this for me is the real awareness moment for the people. It's almost like the Lord says, your earthly king who was amazing is gone, but focus your eyes on the true king. It's almost this moment of mourning for the loss of this amazing King Uzziah who brought success everywhere he went. It's this impressive space that probably people were mourning and sad that he had died, that the throne was absent, but it's this reminder from God to say, but my throne will never be. See, if we follow Isaiah 6 for the moment, I think this in itself is the antidote. He doesn't say that he saw himself high and exalted. He doesn't say, I saw my sin high and exalted. He says, I saw the Lord high and exalted. And this is a response to seeing the Lord high and exalted. Above him were seraphim with six wings, with two wings that covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I have lived among people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. One of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Woe is me is the response of seeing the Lord high and exalted. It was the exposure moment. It was the awareness moment of where they had got to. And this is the antidote, church. If you feel like you have drifted, if you feel like you've got further from God, the goal is not to try harder. It's not to do more. It's to see the Lord high and lifted up. It's to see the Lord high and exalted. Because in that moment, there is this awareness of how far we have went. It's not to try harder or work harder. It is to lift our eyes to the Lord. Because when we lift our eyes to the Lord and we see him, our priorities change. Our decision makings change. Our obedience changes. Everything we do changes. Our dependency changes. It goes off us again. Because when we see him, we cannot help do what he asks. It's the woe is me and here I am, Lord. Would you send me? When we see him for who he is, when we see him, we cannot recognize where we are. We cannot help but be willing to go where he leads us. This is how good he is. This is the power of seeing the Lord high and exalted. Maybe if the worship team would join me. And maybe today you feel like maybe you've drifted a bit. And maybe it's just slightly. Or maybe it's a bit further. Or maybe it's quite far. And the dangerous thing of the drift, as we have explored this morning, is quite often we don't realize it until we're too far gone. But I almost feel like the Lord would say, this is the moment, like my mum's call to me and my dad for you this morning. That's here. It's far enough now. It's far enough now, church. We've gone too far leaning on ourselves. We've gone too far leaning on our ability. We've gone too far leaning on our knowledge. Here we need to come back to him. And you see, the incredible thing about Christ is this. You can never drift too far, ever. But when you lean, look up, and you look to him, He calls you home. It's like the story in Luke 15 of the younger brother who goes and squanders all his possessions on wild living. In verse 17, I think it is, of Luke 15, it says this: when he came to his senses, this moment, this realization moment, this awareness moment of how far he had gone is the moment I feel like we need to have in the room this morning. That our decision makings maybe aren't as honoring to God as they once were. Our time with the Lord maybe wasn't as deep as it once was. Maybe the amount of times we carve out to be with Jesus wasn't as often as it once was. And it's not a condemnation moment this morning, but it's in the grace of God. It's an awareness moment. It's an awareness to come back to Him. See, the beautiful thing about Jesus is this: you will never drift if your eyes are on Him. You can't get enough of Him. You'll never want to leave Him. When you see Him, you can't get enough. We only ever drift, church, when our eyes are on our success, when our eyes are on our ability, when our eyes are on our problems. But this is the moment, church, to lift our eyes off ourself and off our situations and off our circumstances and put them onto Him. Not to try harder, but to look higher again. Let's fix our eyes on Him this morning. Because we will never, church, accidentally drift towards Jesus. We have to seek Him. But the beautiful thing about this is this: when we fix our eyes on Him, when our eyes are glazed on Him, when we are looking to Him, we will never be able to drift away from Him, ever. That's the goodness of God. That's the power of seeing Him rightly. That is the Isaiah 6 moment. Woe is me. It's a realization. And then when you see Him, it's, here I am, Lord. Send me. I wonder if you would stand with me this morning. I'd love to just pray for us before we go into some worship. I'm not going to ask for like a visual response or anything, but I wonder if you would just close your eyes. You know your life. You know your decision making. You know the things that you have maybe chosen over Jesus. You are in this moment, hopefully the Lord would reveal to you maybe if you've drifted or how far you've drifted. And you have a decision to make tonight. This morning, sorry, there's a blueprint for you to get back. And it's seeking the Lord, it's seeing Him. I love you, just in the quietness of your heart, for the next 10, 15 seconds, that you would just confess the areas that you feel like you've drifted into. Whether it's apathy has led it, whether it is valuing other things, whatever it is, tell Him this morning, this is important, church, because we can't allow the drift. We need Him. We can't do this ourselves. We need Him. And so, Lord, right across this room, as we realize and have an awareness of where we've maybe drifted to, Lord, I pray afresh this morning that we would see You. Would You give us an Isaiah moment, that we would see You high and exalted. That, Father God, I would expose how far we've drifted, but, Lord, You would call us back to You. That, Lord, this morning we would make a decision, a line in the sand moment that would say we are no longer depending on ourselves. We're no longer discounting ourselves because of our age or because of our confidence or because of what we know. But Lord, this morning we declare with our whole lives that we are depending on You, that we are trusting in You, and we are willing to go wherever You send us and lead us into, because we need You, Lord. Help us, Lord, for the rest of our days and every moment to not drift, but to keep our eyes fixed on You. And that, Lord, You would use people in this church to bring glory to You. God, we are excited because potential hasn't even happened in every life in this church already. There is so much more in store for every person in this building. And so, God, we pray, would You lead us into the fullness of the call of God upon our lives in this next season as our eyes are fixed on You. We love You, Lord. Be with us, we ask. For Your glory and for Your name's sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.